other part of the application I want us to do today as we enter into this coming what we call the church year, which will begin next Sunday with our Sunday morning Bible.
There's a famous idiom that says bread is the staff of life.
And we all know what is meant by that. That food is necessary for life, and that bread is the most basic of food. And so that phrase relates to our physical body. But what if there was a bread which related not to your body, but to your heart and mind? What if a bread related to your ways, the ways of living? And if we look in God's Word today, and as we are going to look into His Word, we're told that there's two types. You can eat of the bread of the way of wisdom, or you can eat of the bread of the way of folly. We're told in His Word. We all eat of one of these two breads. And the question is posed, which one are you eating of? The bread of the way of wisdom or the bread of the way of folly? Those of you who are young, the young men and women, which bread are you sticking in your mouth? Which bread are you chewing? Which bread are you swallowing and digesting? And so you may say, what do you mean, Pastor Dave? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And much of Proverbs is written as a comparison. The comparison of God's way of wisdom, or the comparison to folly or the world's way. The ninth chapter of Proverbs does just that as well. There is a comparison. Wisdom, that which follows the word of God, compared to folly, that which follows the world. And so for the first part of the message, I want us to look at the comparison. And for the application, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit, each of us to ask the Holy Spirit to transform us personally and also corporately, if you will, personally to eat the bread of wisdom, and then corporately, the corporate application is that for us to continue and to step up our offer and our resourcing of the bread of wisdom to put on everyone's plate at Grace, if we will. So now, before we read, let's get our setting established. It's kind of like watching a movie, especially a movie that's set into a setting as in a place. You know, the first shots of the camera establish the setting for the movie. So imagine the setting. Imagine a small town, that small town which represents the world, the entire world in which we live. And in this town, there are houses, there are shops, there are services which represent life, what we do in our life every day, our activities, home, work, school, those sorts of things. But also in this town, there's two distinct bakeries. There's two bakeries, one on each, let's just say one on each end of town. And each of those bakeries represents the substance or the bread or the way that life is lived in this town. And let's read Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to read the first six verses, and then we're going to read the 13 through 18. Let's begin with Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. And she has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. And now we pick up in verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, and she takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Now, there's a lot of imagery here that is in this text of using these things, and there's a part of this text, part of this passage of Scripture, toward the end, that has certain implications. But what I want us to look at is the comparison between wisdom and folly. In this passage, we're told of two distinct women who live in this town, our town that we've set the setting for. Each one owns a bakery. Each one bakes her own special kind of bread. We have the woman wise bakery who bakes bread, the bread of wisdom. We could call it the bread of righteousness. We have the woman folly bakery on the other end of town. And she bakes bread of folly, the bread of the world, the ideas of the world. And so let's do our comparison. Let's do what Proverbs does, and let's compare them. The woman wise bakery, we're told that she bakes bread that builds. She's built her house, we're told. We're told in verse 10, if you look down at verse 10, which we didn't read, but we see this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that knowledge of the Holy One is insight, our memory verse for this week. Wisdom has its beginning and its continuing in the Lord. It begins in the Lord, with the Lord, and it continues with and in the Lord as well. The Lord, the Holy One, we're told. And God is the one who gives life. And we're told in John 10 that not only does God give life, Jesus said that he came to give it abundantly. And so that life that we are given, that life is being built up in the Son, as the Lord Jesus Christ, as Romans tells us, that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Made complete in him, we're told, in the epistles. And that's what the bread of wisdom does. That's what, and we're relating this to the Word of God. That's what it does. It builds up. We're told that woman folly bakery, though, she breaks bread that tears down and destroys. It seduces instead of builds. It tricks. It causes the body to waste instead of be nourished. And that's what the bread of folly does. It destroys. The wise woman bakes bread that gives knowledge for your life. Her bread is intuitive and is foundational for life. She has hewn her seven pillars. She's built her house. She's hewn her seven pillars. Wisdom increases knowledge. She knows how to build a good foundation. How to make your house, what's your house, your life, how to make your life, my life, strong and stable. That's what the seven pillars. Jesus gave a similar comparison of the one who builds their house on the sand and the man who builds his house on the rock. And the winds come and the rains come and is torrential. And we're told that the man who built his house on the sand, his house falls. And he says, great is that fall. But the man who built his house on the rock, his house stands. Because his house is built upon the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord. See, her instruction and teaching will sustain you and make you wiser and increase in learning and righteousness. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. That's what her bread does. It strengthens, it grows. The comparison, though, a woman folly bakery, she bakes bread, we're told, which knows nothing. Which knows nothing. In verse 13, there is no knowledge, no true knowledge in her for eternal life. There's no sustenance for righteousness at all. Her bread leads to malnutrition. Her bread leads to what we could call an anemia of the soul. The next comparison 3, woman wise bakery, she bakes bread which calls people away from the ignorance and the folly of the world. Look at verses 3 through 6 again. And she sent out her young women to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come and eat my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the ways of insight. She calls them to come, to leave the folly of the world that leads to destruction. We're told that it leads to death. In verse 18, we're told it leads to death. It leads to Sheol, the place of the dead. She calls them to leave that and to come out and to live. Verse 6, leave your simple ways and live. Woman Folly Bakery, on the other hand, bakes bread which keeps you in the remains of the ignorance of the folly of this world and causes you to continue to think that you're okay, that what you're doing is right, that this is the right way because other people are doing it and it seems right, it feels right, it seems logical, but all she's doing is keeping you in your own foolishness of lostness. She really doesn't care whether you remain in the world's ways. Actually, she wants you to remain there. She doesn't want to call you out of that. She doesn't want to bring attention to it. She wants you to remain there. Why? So she can prosper from your ignorance and your simple way of life. She doesn't want you thinking about the things of the Lord. Man, can we go through a list of distractions that woman folly has baked up today that keep us so here, so distracted that we don't even take time to think about death and eternity. We don't even take time to think about sin and righteousness. And that's where she wants to keep us, keep you. She wants you to remain unlearned of righteousness. Why? So that you keep coming to her bakery. You keep eating her bread. She delights in the ignorance of the world and the folly. Comparison 4. Woman Wise Bakery's goal is purposeful, which leads to living and blessing. Again in verse 6, leave your simple ways and live. Wisdom is described in Proverbs 3:18 as a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. See, Woman Wise Bakery, her desire is eating the bread is for your benefit, not for her benefit. It's for your benefit and your blessing. The goal is for you to continue to be wise. The goal is for you to continue in to be wise in the fear of the ways of the Lord, the Holy One, and to become even more so, still wiser, we're told. Increasing in insight, increasing in the ways of the Lord. Woman Folly's bakery goal is worldly pleasure. pleasure, which what? Leads to death and cursing, verse 18 again. But he does not know that the dead are there in her bakery. And that her guests, those who come into her store, are in the depths of Sheol already. Proverbs 19:3 tells us that a man's folly brings his way to ruin. What is folly? Folly is just believing the ways of the world. That's folly. Why is it folly? Because it leads to nothing. That's why it's folly. It leads to death, eternal separation from God. That's why God sent his own son to die on a cross, so that we would not have to perish but have everlasting life. So that we would not have to go the way of death and the second death, which is the lake of fire. But wise woman bakery, her desire, the woman foolish bakery, her desire is you eating her bread is for her benefit and for your ruin. I try to remind our children all the time, the world does not care about you. The world does not care for you. The world may be offering all these cool things to you, but the world does not care for you. The world does not care about you. And once you take, if you decide to take those things and embrace those things and to continue to embrace those things of the world, then the world will mock you and scoff you all the way to an eternity without Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ does care for you. He cared enough to die for you, to call you out of the folly of this world and to rescue you, to forgive you, to wash you whiter than snow. Woman folly bakery, her goal is for you to remain worldly. To do what? To follow your own way. To do things your own way and to become even more wise in your own eyes and increasing in your own way. But there's a warning for those who continue to eat of her bread. The scripture tells us that there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to destruction, to death. Go out and talk to someone about salvation, and they will talk to you about how wise they are in their own eyes, just like you and I did, right? Just like we did when someone talked to us about Christ, or when we were confronted with our lost estate. What did we do at first? We came up with our own reasons why we didn't need Jesus. I'll do that later, especially when we were young. I'll do that later. I just want to live a little while. Or I'm a pretty good guy. Or I'm not as bad as so and so, Gary. Or, you know, when we come up all these so-called wise ways in our own thoughts that are doing nothing but keeping us bound and leading us to destruction. There's a way that seems right in a man's eyes, but in the end it leads to destruction. You see, those who frequent her bakery, eating her bread, the more bread you eat, the more enthralled you become with it. The more you want, the more you have to have. It's a narcotic, almost. You become more enthralled with the pleasures that she offers, and they become more intoxicating with her and her bread, and it tastes sweet when you eat it. The scripture says that sin is pleasurable for a season. If it wasn't, how many of you would be running? How many people would be sinning if it was not pleasurable for a season? We'd be running from it if it initially tasted, if we knew the bitterness and the rankness and the vileness and all those things ahead of time, if we could see that and kind of taste that or smell that, but we don't, do we? It fakes us out because it looks good. It looks appealing. It looks right. It feels right. It sounds right. It sounds sweet. And when we bite it for a moment, the Bible tells us that it is. But then the more we chew on it, what happens? The worse it becomes. And it wasn't exactly what I thought it was. And it didn't do what it said it was going to do. And it separates. That's what sin does. It separates. It's pleasant and pleasurable. Look how she calls out. Stolen water is sweet. Come on. Come on. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. It's pleasurable. Don't be a prude. Don't be a goody two-shoes. Don't be a Christian. Don't be like those Christians who can't do anything. Come here. Eat this bread. And it gets to where you cannot live without it until the end comes. In Proverbs 7:26 says this about this woman of folly. A victim she has laid low, and all her slain become many, many, many. See, her goal is not your life. Her goal is not your edification. Her goal is not your sanctification and justification and all the wonderful words we use for salvation. Her goal is not those things. Her goal is not your eternal life in Christ, in the crucified Christ. Her goal is death. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, he said, "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many." Those who enter it are many. And we live in a world of many. We live in a world of many. We're many. And again, we have to remember, Lord, please let us never forget from where you have brought us from. The wretchedness and the vileness and the horror of our own sin. We cannot ever forget that as we continue on the narrow way. But the world is full of many. Our town that we imagined is full of many. And many of them are going into her bakery. And they're eating her bread. The folly. What about you? I'm going to have those who are going to be doing our response song, if you would come at this time. You see, the woman Folly Bakery, she sells a whole lot more bread than the woman Wise Bakery does. But the question is, and this is where we can get off sometimes, is when we're confronted, there's always a response. Whenever we read a passage of Scripture, whether it's talked about, expounded on, or whatever, doesn't matter. If we just read a passage of Scripture, whether I read it with my own eyes or whether it's read aloud and you hear it in the reading, we're always confronted with a response from that. Always. I either believe it or I don't believe it. And if I believe it, then I have a double response. Am I going to embrace it and walk in its ways? And so the easy thing for me to do, and the easy thing for you to do, is to sit at a time like this and think about all of our friends and family members who are eating at the woman Folly Bakery. It's a whole lot easier to think about them than just think about what bread am I eating? What bread am I eating? And so let me encourage you. The question today is not so much where everyone else is buying their bread and what bread they're eating. The question for the moment to be answered right now is, where are you buying bread? What bread are you eating? The bread of wisdom, the bread of life and blessing? Jesus, who said, I am the bread of life? Or the bread of folly, which is the bread of death or cursing? See, there's only two bakeries in town. There's only two breads in town. Are you eating? And we're each eating from one of them. Which one are you frequenting? Which one are you eating? And so the results, here's what we need to understand. The results of which bakery that a person, you or anybody that goes to, here is the results. The results are told. If we eat of the woman wise bakery, then this is these are the results. Give instructions to a wise man, he'll be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your ways will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. For the one who's eating at the bakery of the woman, folly bakery, we read again verse 18, which are horrific words, terrible words. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. And so as our worship team sings, and we come to this time of response, respond to the Lord. And we're going to come back and we have a little more application. Remember, we said there was a two-part application to this. But for right now, what is God calling you? Is he calling you? He may be calling you to Christ, his crucified, risen Son, that you may believe on him. And by believing on him, you may have eternal life. Today may be the day of salvation for you. And if he's calling you, surrender, receive. It may be the call that you've been flirting a little bit with the world. You're a believer in Christ Jesus. You know that. But the world's been, she's been calling out to you. Come in here. It's pleasant. It's sweet. Come in here. And you've caught yourself as you read Pilgrim's Progress, how he gets off the pathway to the celestial city sometimes. By that call, maybe you're finding yourself there and God's calling you back, saying, wake up, wake up. However God's calling, take this time to respond as our worship team.